Thank you. Okay. So over the past few weeks, we've been looking at Chelek of the Tanya, which in many ways was a very pleasant Chelek of the Tanya, and that is the Eitzes to deal with sadness. A person is sometimes sad, and the sadness creates a sluggishness and an inability to respond with enthusiasm in Avodas Hashem, and it's Ma'akev the Beinoni in his Aveda. And the Alter Rebbe, again, these were questions Hasidim actually brought to him. And the Alter Rebbe discussed the different Eitzes about one shouldn't have Daiga and one shouldn't have Atzvos. And he talked about the fact that if it's an Yanim Avaylam Hazeh, then Bechlau, if you really have a moon of Gamzu L'Taiva, it shouldn't shtare. And if it's Atzvos L'Gabi Ruchnias, so he says, Einochinami, you have to have Itim Mezumanim, in which you break your heart, in which you cry. But the Etzem Avodas Hashem always has to be the Simcha. And therefore he says, if you have, and then a third type of Atzvos comes from bad machshavos that come to you, and there you just have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a gift to be Mekayim the Inyan of Lo Sasur Hachari Levavachem, and Memela, you got to fight the negative thought. That's hard, but you shouldn't be sad about it because that is the Avodah of the Beinoni. And he made the point, do not regard yourself as a failure because you have these bad thoughts. Lehepech, this is what a Beinoni is supposed to do. Fight the thought, be misgaber over the thought. Lechach neitzarta, and the fact that you'll have this your whole life, he says, is nothing to be upset about. This is your Aveda, this is your Tafkid. One should be besimcha. So that is really the part that I think was pleasant, was nice, gave us a lot of chizuk, gave us inspiration, helped us through the different yeridas that we have in our life. We now come to a section that maybe is in some ways the most difficult part of the Tanya, not Kabbalistically, it's not particularly difficult in that way, but it's difficult because, number one, it opens up areas of ourselves that we would rather not go into. He has various meditations which are almost the opposite of what he was saying until now about how worthless we are, how pachos we are, how inferior we are, how disgusting we are. And opening up that particular mahalach, the Baal HaTanya says, can actually lead a person to be miskaber over the Yetzer Hara and ultimately the simcha of connection to HaKadosh Baruch. Again, this is a little bit dangerous, and that's why, for example, there were many, many Musar schools before the Baal HaTanya that emphasized very much the worthlessness and lowliness of the human being. The most famous example is the Reish HaChachma. One of the Reish HaChachma has Shar HaGehenim, which kind of describes all of the bad things that happen to us because of our lowly and disgusting state. By the way, Reish HaChachma was actually fairly popular in Hasidic circles, although it's much, much earlier than Hasidus. But as you know, I've said, but you know this anyway, that in recent decades, even within the sheet of Musar, most people have moved away. Most Gedolim and most Mashgichim have moved away from opening up how worthless and disgusting we are, simply because that can break a person. And if it breaks a person, the Yetzer Hara wins. So in some ways, I almost have a little bit of a temptation to skip, but I don't want to skip because if the Baal HaTanya teaches us this, then it's something that's valuable. But it is a little bit of an uncomfortable part of the Tanya. But the fact that something's uncomfortable does not mean that it's not true. The second reason why this is going to be a difficult part of Tanya is that this is a sefer that frankly makes demands upon us. Meaning sometimes you can learn even a Musar sefer, and it's a beautiful thought and a deep thought, and it's very nice. He brings things together, he explains things. Even in Tanya we had that, the different levels of the animal soul and how it interacts with the godly soul. And it's very nice, and you have a nice fort and a nice mahalach, and you understand things better. Here, the Alter Rebbe takes off the boxing glove, so to speak, and he actually talks about the drishas, the actual demands that Hashem makes of us in Avodah. And that's a little uncomfortable, you know, even when you hear, you know, sometimes Rabbi Miller does that sometimes, you know, Rabbi Miller, Rick Miller, you know, will explain things, this and that, and everything's nice, the apple is so wonderful, and the banana is so good, and then he starts really sucking it to you about all of the things that you have to do in life, and then it gets a little bit more uncomfortable. Now, maybe when someone's doing it in person, it's even more uncomfortable. Here, the Chalapachas, it's in a sefer, so it's a little bit removed. But here, the Alter Rebbe is really telling you how hard it is to be a Beinoni, and how easy it is to fail, and how much it is we do fail. And now, paradoxically, he then says, this will be Gairein, sadness. But this will be called an energizing sadness, not a paralyzing sadness. Dr. Rebbe uses two words. Now again, this is, I don't think this is intrinsic to the Hebrew language, but this is his terminology. He is mechalek between atzvus and merirus. Atzvus, he says, is the sadness that deadens you, that paralyzes you, that basically just takes away your energy to move on. And that is not good. That is not good, because avodas Hashem has to be besimcha. But there's another type of sadness that is called meriras, bitterness of spirit, which he says means an energizing sadness, in which you see how far you are from that goal, and then you have a desire, I'm going to get to that goal. And that, he says, is that will propel you forward. And therefore he's going to be talking about the idea of meriras versus atzvus. Now, my only kasha is that l'chara linguistically, this actually doesn't fit, because the whole mahalach began, I mean, a few weeks ago, began with a pasuk in Mishlei, b'chol otzev yiyah meiser, in all sadness there is profit. And the Alter Rebbe explained then that that is the sadness that energizes you. But the chayra there, the actual lashon ha-pasuk, is otzev, which is lashon of atzvus. I mean, the word, it really doesn't make a difference, it's only a matter of what you call it, but I'm saying, but the very use of his words, it's a bit of a tzarechian, because it contradicts the pasuk that he uses to establish his proposition. But again, that's not essential to the vort. I mean, whether you call it atzvus, merirus, you can call it whatever you want to call it. We're not wedded to titles, but the concept is very, very true. There is a sadness that paralyzes, and there's a sadness which creates yearning that energizes. And although we will be meditating on our worthlessness and on our failures, but the goal will be to energize us to move forward, because we have to recognize that the failures come from the animal within us, the animal soul within us, but within us there is also that godly soul that can be redeemed. And that godly soul has not been corrupted. That godly soul is in galus. We've cut it off from God by our averus. It's been imprisoned, but we can liberate it. So in that sense, side by side with reflecting on how worthless and bad we are, we're makir that there's something infinitely precious, a chelek eloka mamish, out of which can come tremendous, tremendous kedusha and devekas, devekas bishop. But as I say, it's a bit of a dangerous mahalach. Again, I'm going to summarize as I do, so you're not going to get the full brunt unless you read it, but if you read it, I'll read you a few lines here and there, you'll really see that this is a pretty, pretty stark thing, and maybe in our generation of weakness, we're not entirely ready for it. So here, though, the Prakim and Tanya are very interrelated, by the way, so the emes is you often have to read several, almost always you have to read several Prakim at a time just to get the general approach. So really, Perek Chavtes, Lamed and Lamed Aleph are one big unit, and Lamed Beis Leif, which is very significant, Leif HaTanya it's called, Perek Lamed Beis, is a very beautiful footnote, so to speak, on the preceding three Prakim, although it's not directly connected to the three Prakim. Perek Chavtes, just so I'm going to give you like a one or two line summary of each Perek, and then we'll look at it in more detail. So Perek Chavtes starts off with the problem of dealing with Timtum Halev. Now, this is different than Atzvus. Until now, we were talking about sadness, digas, worries, anxieties, right? Either anxieties of Inyanim of Olam Hazeh, or anxieties because of my Averos, or anxieties because of hirhurim that seem to be invading my tefillah and my mitzvos. Now, those were anxieties. In Perek Chavtes, we move to a different issue, almost a lack of anxiety, and that is timtum halev. This is a different phenomenon. Timtum is literally not feeling anything. Now, that may come, that indeed may come from sadness, as the Alter Rebbe called it, atzvus, later. It may also come from indifference, meaning a person might not consciously even feel sad. It's just that nothing seems to really make a difference to him. And even if he's from, now remember, we're talking about a Beinoni. We're not talking about somebody who went off the derech. We're talking about somebody who is keeping mitzvahs, a from person. But there's kind of a deadness inside. This, unfortunately, this, by the way, is not an uncommon problem. This is a very, very, very common problem. The problem is not that he's so upset about his averos that he's sad. That was an earlier problem. The problem is that, you know, nothing seems to be ma'orer him. And he even understands a lot of things in his head, but the heart is not aroused. The chalal hayamini, the right part of the heart, is not aroused. This is what we call timtum halev. Right? You know the lashon of Chazal, that eating machalas asurais is goreim timtum halev. Meaning, even if a person is keeping mitzvahs, and there's a timtum halev. So timtum halev, though, is a general phenomenon. So here, the Alter Rebbe begins with, and he mentions two things. He says, timtum halev may not stop you from doing mitzvahs. I can do mitzvahs even with timtum halev, but there are two things you're not going to be able to do when there's timtum halev. It's interesting. He identifies two things. Number one, you won't be able to daven properly. Because tefillah, by definition, is avodah shebelev. So the learning I could go through, because even if, you know, I'm not emotionally aroused, but, you know, learning is interesting, it's intellectually challenging, so mimela, you know, I could learn even with timtum halev. But tefillah, very, very hard. And there's timtum halev, like, what are you saying? The same word, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, like, what is it? That's one practical problem you'll have with timtum halev. And the other problem, he says, is lekadesh atzmo b'mutzar lo. We know, and again, this is a drisha, this is a, you know, it's a hard madrega, but the Alter Rebbe spoke about this all the way back in the beginning, that anything that is not helping you in your avodas Hashem is coming from the nefesh avahamis and the sitra achra. And that includes achila of rishus. That includes, in other words, it's either advancing you in avodas Hashem, or it's coming from the sitra achra. And that's why there's such an inyan to be makadish yourself even in things that are mutter, to go beyond the halacha. So the Alter Rebbe says, when you're in a matzav of timtum halev, you're not going to be able to go there. So you're not going to buy a ham sandwich or a tray from McDonald's. Okay, that much you're not going to do. But to think about being makadish myself beyond the halacha, that requires passion and enthusiasm, and therefore the Alter Rebbe says, operationally, timtum halev is going to affect you practically in two areas, in avodas hatfila and lekadesh atzmai b'mutzarlach. Now, the truth of the matter is, timtum halev is going to affect you in everything, but the Alter Rebbe is mentioning these two examples because this is where there will be an actual practical visualization of what you're stymied at doing, but really it'll affect your tefillin, it'll affect your tzitzis, it'll affect your brachas, it'll affect everything. So what do you do with timtum halev? Just, the moach has all the information, but somehow there's no connection. The connection is severed between the moach and the lev. Now they tell a story, it's only peripherally related, but this idea reminds me of this, timtum halev, that Rav Tzaddik, the great Rav Tzaddik, who was after the Alter Rebbe. Rav Tzaddik was the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. I think it was Nifter 1900. So Rav Tzaddik was born as a misnaged. Rav Tzaddik was not born into a Hasidish family. And he was a great, great Eloi. He was a bucky in Shas and Shulchan Aruch by the time he was 18. Imamish, he knew everything. And because he was an Eloi, Well, the whole story, basically, when he got married and he felt his wife, I guess it's kind of a tragic story. He felt his wife was not Makayim, a certain Indian of Tznias. She was running a store, and somebody told him that she shook a customer's hand or something. So he demanded a get, and she refused. So he traveled through Europe to get a Heter Meir Rabbanim, you know, to matter the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom, to be Megarish and Isha Bal Korcha. And he was a young man, and in the course of that, he met many, many Gedolim, and he would come and shmooze and be Mechadish, you know, and the like. By the way, he eventually got a Heter Meir Rabbanim. He was Megarish, his wife. She remarried, had a Mishpacha. He remarried twice. His second wife died, and he married a third wife, and he had no children. And he said himself, B'Soif Yamav, that this was an Onesh Min HaShemayim, that he was Mitzarer, his first wife, and didn't have more Rachmanas on her. So he considered it to be a very big Shanda. But the story goes that in his journeys, he went all over the place. In his journeys, he was a Misnaget. He stopped off at the Ishbitzer. Right? The Ishbitzer was a Rav Leiner, was a Chassidish Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, the Mei Shiluach. One of Shlomo Kalbach's favorite Hasidic Sfarim. And the Ishbitzer was speaking at Suda Shlishis, and Rav Tzadok had never heard like Hasidic, this type of Hasidic Torah before. And in the middle, Rav Tzadok was like transfixed, to borrow from another religion. This was, okay, Paul on the road to Damascus, as they said. He had an epiphany.
Is that a different religion?
Yeah. So what happened was, that Rav Tzadok started shaking and crying, and he grabbed his head and he said, "All I was, all I am is a brain. I didn't have a heart." He says, "Now I have a heart." He says, "My heart is on fire," and he was crying, "My heart is on fire." So this is the Rebbe, this is the opposite of Timtum Alev. Rav Tzadok maintained that at least the fee his madrega, that in spite of all of the Torah that he had, there was a Timtum HaLev, and he felt his opening of the heart only by the interest. Now, the truth of the matter is, in terms of being a Lamdin, Rav Tzadok was probably greater than the Ishbitzer. I mean, the Ishbitzer was a big Talmud Chacham. Rav Tzadok was probably a bigger Talmud Chacham. But nevertheless, he was Mavatal himself to the Ishbitzer. Interestingly enough, another chassid of the Ishbitzer was Rav Leibele Eger, Rav Akiva Eger's son, which was pretty, that was a real defection. Rav Akiva Eger's son went over to Hasidus, I'm sorry, Rav Shlomo Eger's son, yeah, I'm sorry, the grandson. When he went over to Hasidus, that was a real, whatever, it was almost like a kidnapping, whatever, they sent people over to get him back, to deprogramming, whatever it would be. But Rav Tzadok and Rav Leibele Eger were like chavrusas and chaverim, and they would sit together. And I think Rav Leibele Eger officially was a higher status. Rav Leibele Eger was right next to the Ishbitzer. Rav Tzadok was the next one, etc. So it was very, very interesting. So you see, Taka, that even people from the greatest Misnagdash Yichas, some of them went over to Chassidus. Okay. So be it as it may, therefore, we're dealing with the problem of Timtum Halev. So here, here the Alter Rebbe begins with a passage from the Zayar, which is the Mafteach to this. And the Zayar says the following. The Amar Rav Mesifte B'Gan Eden. This is a very interesting man, the Amar. The Rosh Yeshiva in Gan Eden said, and we don't really know who that is, but apparently in fact, it's hard to understand because in other many Mamari Chazal portray many yeshivos in Gan Eden. This is the Rosh Yeshiva of Gan Eden, says the following. I'll read you the Zohar. A'ah delay salik bein nahora. A'ah is eight. Wood that fire cannot ignite. Right? If you take a trunk of a tree, a big trunk of a tree, and put a match to it, it's not going to ignite. It's too big. It's too thick. It can't ignite. So even a big fire won't necessarily ignite it. So what do? Mevatshinle, you chop it up into small pieces. And by chopping up the wood, it is capable of being ignited. Therefore, the Rav Mesifta B'Gan Eden says, Gufa, deloy solek be'nahora denishmasa, a body where the light of the neshama, that means the godly soul, does not ignite the body. So what do? The body is like a piece of thick wood. Mivatshinle, you got to chop up that wood into small pieces. Take an axe and cut it up. That's what the Zohar says. So the Alter Rebbe uses this Zohar as the basis of what he's now going to tell us a person's meditation has to be. Because he says, here, the contemplation is not going to work. Most of the Tanya was talking about increasing your understanding, your contemplation, your meditation, based on the idea that the moach is sholeit al halev. But when the lev is so thick and so coarse and so impermeable, meaning the nefesh ha-bahamis is so strong here, so in such a case, you need to cut it down. And he basically says, interestingly enough, timtim halev comes almost from a form, the way he describes it, a gasus haruach of the klipa. The klipa is misgoy, and it blocks the divine light from coming in. So you have a mind which understands things, but there's this barrier that prevents it from coming in because it's gasus ruach. Now again, this is not a conscious process, because you don't necessarily feel gaivadik. It's not that you have a conscious feeling of gaivadik, but the process internally is the klipa itself has a certain gasus ruach and a certain gaiva, and therefore what you have to do is you have to lower it, cut it down to size, so that it's literally quite like tear down that wall so the light of the neshama will shine into your heart. And he talks about, and in fact he even makes a point that, let me just find the lashon here, Sarich Levatsha, you must cut it up, Lashpila, to lower it, to offer. Now, that means, again, Likvoa Itim. This is important. This shouldn't be your permanent attitude. But have times in which you engage in this meditation. Lahashpil Atzmo, to lower yourself. Lios Nivza Bienav, to be something that's humiliating in your own eyes. Nimas, disgusting. Kakosov, Lev Nishbor, a broken heart, Ruach Nishbora, and don't even, he said like this, and don't even make the excuse that it's the Yetzer Hara in me that's bad. Because that kind of, it's not me, it's this negative force in me. Now, that's a little easier, right? That's easier. In other words, I'm possessed by this negative force. He says no, because after all, unless you're a tzaddik, your nefesh bahamis actually is you most of the time, because most of the time, that is what's running your show. And he even brings a raya, which is not the most pleasant raya, but in the morning we say, Elokai nishama shenasata bi tahorehi. It's a good kasha. Hashem, the godly soul that you put in me is pure. What do you mean, put in me? Who's me? That implies me is not the neshama. So what is the real me? The real me, most of the time, is the animal soul. Hashem put into me this godly potential. So don't even make excuses that it's my Yetzer Hara. And don't even say, oh, my Yetzer Hara is so bad. No. We have to say, we're so bad. Because really, that's running the show. Again, as I say, I hesitate to go down this road, because this can, you know, maybe for these types of things, everyone should bring a therapist note or whatever it is, that they're not prone to too much depression. Because once again, the Alter Rebbe will emphasize that this is, number one, a meditation for a limited amount of time, and it should lead a person to energizing simcha. If it leads a person to paralysis and yish, then bedavka is not the mahalach. Right? This is supposed to lead to a simcha. And then he makes the point that by tzaddikim it's the opposite. Tzaddikim, who have converted even the animal soul to that which is holy, so they look at the body. And as he makes the point like this, he says, for most of us, we look at our real self as the body, and the neshama, that's something Hashem put into our body. With a tzaddik, he says it's the other way around. The tzaddik is his neshama, and the body is described as besar Adam, the flesh of the Adam. Right? So what's the me? Do I have a neshama, or do I have a guf? It all depends who the I is. The Beinoni, the Beinoni is an I who has a neshama. The tzaddik is an I who happens to have a guf that's called besar Adam. Meaning, what is the real person under those circumstances, right? So this is the nafkamina, and that's why he has a lashon. He brings from Hillel that Hillel said to his talmidim when he went to eat, Haya Aimer shehu holech likmail chesed im ho'aluva va'aniya. That when Hillel would eat, he would tell his talmidim, I am going to do chesed. Do you want to say that? He wanted to do chesed to this poor thing that is hungry. It's as if he almost looked at his body as something, a different thing. Right? They give a mashal of a horse and a rider. You have a horse and the rider, and the horse takes the rider where the rider has to go. He did not look at his body bichlal as who he was. It was something that he simply had to take care of. He had to take care of the guf, because the guf was able to enable him to be mishamesh and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the difference between, now I'm not sure what, if Hillel said the nusach, Elokai neshamash and asatami, but he says, but that's the different perspective. For most of us, Hashem, you gave me a neshama. For Hillel, Hashem, you gave me a guf, because the me is my neshama. That is my whole metzias. And therefore, what the Baal HaTanya is basically saying is, don't make excuses. It's not your yetzer hara. It's you. Because that's what you allow to take over your life force. And therefore, and I say you, I include me too. I mean, we, together, we are nivza, we are nimas, we are shafal. We do so many awful things, both in terms of not being sur meira and the laziness of not doing asei toiv, and therefore we are so rachaik from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if we don't do averis, the fact that averis are not disgusting to us means we're not connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the very thought of an avera would be something that is so nimas for us, and the like. And then he brings up other things. He talks about chadash neurim again is a term that was used for the sexual indiscretions connected to the tikkun habris that happens when a person might be younger, masturbation or any other sexual issue like that, and that is a pagam. And even if a person did tshuva, so here he says a very interesting thing. This is really an interesting point. You know, David HaMelech says, and again, to talk about this scares me a little bit, maybe more than a little bit. David HaMelech says, Chatasi lenegdi tamit. My averos are before me constantly. I never forget my averos. Now, the obvious question is this. If a person does tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives your averos, then aren't they gone? Tshuva erases the averos. Tshuva restores you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and indeed, Chazal say, "B'makam shebalei tshuva imdim, tzadik gurim einu mechaylim lamay ba." Right, the tremendous level of a bal tshuva. So, what is this chatasi l'nekdi samet? Are we supposed to think about averos that we did before we did tshuva? Like, why? So, one pshat is, the Rambam says, that it's really just a way of remaining humble. That a person should know that, you know, I'm a person that's capable of being nikshal, and therefore I need to be humble in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not be prideful. But the Baal HaTanya says a more complicated Kabbalistic idea. He says like this. He says, that the realm of Shamayim is above time. And therefore, there's no such thing as something that's past, present, future. Everything is happening the same moment. So if I did an Aveira 30 years ago, that Aveira is still up there. Elamai, Tshuva erases it, but he says like this, when you have Timtum Halev, that might be a simon that at that point your Tshuva is not working. It got interrupted, and the Aveira is still there, meaning the Aveira is, the very fact that you have Timtum Halev actually means at that particular moment in time, I don't know why, he doesn't say why, your tshuva is not being part. Let's look at tshuva as like a force field, what he's basically saying. The tshuva is a force field that is meinea, that your sins are not affecting anything in Shemayim. But they're still there. And at various moments, a timtum halev could allow the Aveira to revive itself, because at that moment your tshuva is not niskaba. And therefore, that is v'chatasi l'negdi summit. Then he gives another pshat, the opposite way, which is an interesting chiddush. The Alter Rebbe had many, many interesting chiddushim, really, that are kind of unique. And he says, tshuva has infinite levels. So sometimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevatel your old tshuva, so you'll have a sense of your sin, in order to spur you to the deeper and higher level of tshuva that you're now capable of achieving. So it's not that your tshuva is not niskabel, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically says, I'm canceling that lower level that you achieved, because now you're capable of a higher level. Right? So it could be a sign as well that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me a simon. Again, this is actually called... this has a precedent in Rav Sadia Gaon, the story about Rav Sadia Gaon, a famous maaser with Rav Sadia Gaon, that one time he was crying, he was misvader or all sorts of averos, and he said, based on my understanding of Hashem today, as I grow, I see that everything I did yesterday was wrong. That's not a tshuva from an avera, but that's a tshuva as you understand your different levels in Avodas Hashem. So these are two explanations in the idea, v'chatasi l'negdi tamid. My averus have to be before me all the time, because whenever there's a timtum halev, you should realize that that means at that moment your tshuva for the past averus is not operating for some reason. Either because your tshuva is not niskabel, or because Hashem wants to spur you onto a higher tshuva. But the purpose of the meditation here is to realize one's worthlessness, going all the way back. And even if you weren't nichshal in Chatas Ne'urim, he says you have to be, he quotes another language of the Zohar, Marei D'Chushbina. Marei D'Chushbina means a master, an accountant, a master of Cheshbin. Go back over all of the things you've done in your life. Cheshbin HaNefesh. All of the things. Ben Adam L'Makar Meidanum L'Chaveira. And even the dreams a person has may come from the Sitra Achra that sends you crazy visions and crazy dreams that they're, and he quotes the Zohar, and they're laughing at you because you're so easily, I say you, I mean us, we're so easily manipulable and everything else. These are kind of things that depress you a little bit. And he says, the ultimate goal is, Kol ma sheyarech b'inyonim elu b'machshavta, the more you think about this. And you read the Svarim that talk about this. Lios libo nishbar bekirba. We will realize with a broken heart how much we have failed. V'nivze b'einav nimas. We will be nivze. We will be humiliated and disgusting. B'tachlis hamiyos, to the fullest degree of disgust. And you will, you know, a person will be disgusted with his very life. But what's going on is, your mamayes and mavaza hasitra achra. You are killing, you are cutting up that sitra achra. Your mashpila liofor, you're lowering it to the dirt. You're pulling it down from its supposed greatness. Gasus Rucha, its arrogance. Davhusa, it's raising itself. Shemagbias Atzmal or Kedushas HaNefesh, it's raising itself against the holiness of your nefesh that wants to get out. And you're you know, cutting it down and you're lowering it, etc. And then he gives another thing, which he says, Chazal have a lashon, Yargiz Adam Yetzer Tov al Yetzer Hara. Now Rogez is anger. Yargiz means you should fight the Yetzer Hara. He says you should yell at it, although he does say it can be in your machshava, not the pile, but he says you should at least mentally yell at this evil thing. Call it Ra, Russia, Meshukatz, Metuav, Menuval. Look at this thing, which is actually you, according to this. Menuval, Meshukatz. Admasai Taster Lefanai or Ein Sof. How much longer are you going to block me from the light of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, which is Ramale Kol Almin, that fills all the universe? And Gamba Makai Mazan, even in this very place. Again, that's the Alter Rebbe Shita, that Simtzum is Lav Kipshute, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is every place. In this very place, there is the light of the Ein Sof. And you, Meshukat or Menuval, are blocking this. Right? And he says, you have to be Margaz, you have to have Beregaz, you have to have with anger. And then he makes the point like this. He makes the final point in the Perek, that in reality the whole Sitra Achra, the whole Kayach Hara, is really an illusion. That's why it's called Choshech, because Choshech B'Pashtus is not a Metzias, although we'll see later there is a Choshech that is a Metzias, but normal Choshech is not a Metzias. It is simply the absence of light that gives the impression that there's something real here. But when you stare it down, so to speak, when you stare it down, it collapses and disappears. The so-called wall that is Meinea, the Or of the Ein Sof, is really an illusion. Now, it's an illusion that Hashem put into the world to facilitate Bechira and get Schar for conquering the Yetzer Hara. But really, it is an illusion. And that is why, when you recognize it for what it is, it no longer has power over you. That's the idea of regis. Recognize it. Stare it down. Don't argue with it, so to speak. Don't try to come up with different arguments why the ra is no good. That's al tan kisil ki ivalte. Do not answer the fool when the fool wants to debate with you. Pentishra lo gamata, because you'll be like the fool. But Regis, push it away. Again, the Alter Rebbe said this many times already. Each time he kind of comes from a different perspective. And he then gives a final point here. Actually, let me digress a little bit, because there's a beautiful vort on this idea that the Kayach of Ra has the appearance of being very, very powerful and real. And indeed, in the language of Kabbalah, they discuss it as a real thing. Sitra Achra, Klipos. This is a very Gashmiistic vocabulary. But really, it's all a bunch of illusions. It's all a bunch of illusions that Hashem puts into the world in order to facilitate Bechira, in order that we should have a world of struggle. But really, it's all illusions, because the only Metzias is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only good. So they tell the story with this. When Yaakov, I mentioned this before in Yeshiva, many of you may have heard it. When Yaakov is fighting with the angel of Esav, so at the end of the night, the angel has to go to say Shira, it's in the morning. So Yaakov asks the angel, Hagidu li ma shemecha, what is your name? So the angel says, Lama zeh tishal lishmi, why are you asking my name? So Rashi learns, because an angel's name depends on his job. Whatever his mission is, that's his name. So my job changes constantly. Even though a malach can only do one thing at any one time, but he can have different jobs different times. So Mamela, I don't have a fixed name. But they bring from a Blade Chasman, one of the great Bavli Musar, he had a pshat that the angel's name is Lomozet Tisholishmi. My name is Don't Ask My Name. Maybe from your prior life, you might remember Abbott Costello, who's on first, right? So it's a very similar, it's a very, very similar type of idea. Say again?
So you could go the Odyssey. My name is Nobody.
My name is Nobody, right. That's right, that's right. So what type of name is Don't Ask My Name? Right? Why are you asking my name? So Rav Leib Chassman gave a mashal to a Rav Chassman. He was a great Baal Musar. He was a Mashgiach in Lamja and then in Hebron. One of the great, he was Rav Shradron's Rebbe. And Rav Leib, Or Yahel is his swarm. The swarm are available. The Or Yahel is Yehuda Chassman, Yehuda Leib Chassman. So he gives a mashal like this. A Polish peasant comes to a big city, and he had never heard of a movie, he had never heard of this, and they told him, if you buy a ticket and go into this room, you're going to see people and animals come out of the wall as if by magic. They're describing a movie to him. So he buys a ticket. He's sitting in this dark room, and all of a sudden he sees people and animals coming out of the wall. He didn't understand what this was, because when he walked into the room, there was no door on the side, and they're just coming out of the wall. How did this happen? So he didn't understand what was going on, so he took out his big flashlight, and he turned on the light, and he shone it on the wall, but of course all of the images vanish when you shine a bright light. So people yelled at him, and they said, shut off the light, we can only see the images when we sit in the darkness. So Rav Yehuda Leib Chassman said, this is really a mashal for Olam Hazeh, because when you live in darkness, you let the darkness be sholeit. So two things happen. All sorts of things that aren't real seem to be important. Money, power, possessions, pleasure. It seems so real. It seems so good, so important. And on the other side of it, things that are real you might not notice. You might be sitting next to a bag of diamonds in the next seat. But it's dark. You're not going to notice. So darkness both means we see things that aren't really there, and we don't see the things that are really there. When you turn on the lights, you're misaken two things. The things that aren't there vanish, and the things that are there, you can see. So Rav Leib Chassman said, this is a mashal for Olam Hazeh. And Mela, he's going back to Yaakov, he says very beautifully that the angel of Esav represents the Yetzer Hara, the Koach of Ra in the world. Now a name, Al Pi Kabbalah, represents the Sheirish of somebody's spiritual Koach. In fact, the Arizal writes that the name that a boy is given at a bris is a Nevuah Ketana, that the parents were given. What is the Sheirish? What is the root of that person's spiritual koach? Now, of course, because we're so illiterate in these matters, we don't really know what's the difference in an Avram and a Yitzhak and a Yaakov and a Moshe and an Esther and a Sarah. You know, we don't know Klor, but somehow the name is indicative of the Sheirish of your neshama. What is your power? What is your Avaida, etc.? That's why there's a whole inyan about not using women's names for men and not men names for women. You know, there's a whole inyan. Not even naming it for two people. You know, some people are makbid, because once again, you're ma'arev, different missions, different kochos. They may not mix very well. I remember two ma'isim. They happened within a week, right, with the same Rosh Hashiva. Very amazing. It's kind of a steer in the ma'isim. In which a baby, there was a bris, and the baby was going to be named. And the son, the namer, the one that was mechubet to name the baby, was a Zaidi, was the grandfather. And the grandfather didn't like the name that his children had chosen. So he switched names. He called the baby by some other name, after his father or something, and they weren't going to do it after his father. So I still remember, I remember hearing the mother like cry from the Esos Nashim, no, you know, and etc. But the Rosh Shiva Paskin, I think he was the son, he Paskins, Mi Hashem Yatsa Hadavar, if this was the name that was announced, this was the Ratzon Habayrei, and therefore this is Min HaShamayim, what the child's name is. Now I'm not sure what their relationship was with their parent afterwards. I hope it was good. Now, I'll tell you another story. The same Rosh Yeshiva, a week later, maybe even within the same week, what happened was the Korei Shem, you know, you whisper to him what the name is, and he didn't hear it correctly. He didn't hear it correctly, so he said something different. And there the Rosh Yeshiva said, oh, that was a tais, you know, that you didn't hear it right, you can correct it. Is there a stira? Maybe not. You could be mechalek between someone who intentionally picks a different name and someone who didn't hear it right. But with my saying, mamash, the same Rosh Yeshiva had two different... Now, it could be, I don't want to say this, but it could be that after the reaction he got after Maisa number one, he reconsidered his psak, you know, maybe he was chaser because of the reaction itself. I don't know. But be it as it may, a shame represents an inyan of kayach. So when Yaakov asks the angel, Ma Shemecha, what's your name? Yaakov is asking the Kayach of Ra, what is your power over people? It makes no sense. Why do people follow you? Because whatever, it's a Dever Pashut, everyone knows this, that whatever revach or pleasure you get from a chait is going to be canceled out so much by what the Einish is going to be. And whatever inconvenience of mitzvah, the schar is going to be, you know, infinitely greater. What's the cheshbon? Indeed, Chazal say, and the Alter Rebbe brings this maimer more than once, nobody is chayte unless there's a ruach shtus. You got to be crazy. It's not just a matter of being evil. You got to be crazy. It makes no sense. So the angel's answer is, my kayach is, nobody bothers to ask my name, meaning nobody bothers to understand that I'm nothing. Meaning, my power is that nobody bothers to investigate that I don't have any power. That's what he says. And this is really what the Baal HaTanya says. The Baal HaTanya says that the Kayach of Ra in a person is really an illusion, because everything comes from Hashem. But Hashem allows the illusion to be very believable, because that creates Bechira and struggle, and the world of the Beinoni. But when you knock it down to size, evil actually vanishes, because it is not a true Metzias. And then he makes the point as well, that the evil serves a positive function in God's world. He gives a famous mashal, which he brought before. It's from the Zohar. This is the mashal of a Zaina, in which a melech wanted to train his son in... proper midos, so he hired a prostitute to be machshil, the son, in order for the son to learn self-control. So on one hand, the zona's job is to try to be machshil, the son, but the zona is acting for the king so that the son will become a more righteous person, right? So it works all of that way. Now again, there's a little, I mean, after a bit, on our madrega, there's a little bit of inconsistency in these mashalim, because one mashal is looking at evil as non-existent, the other is saying it's existent, but it's serving Hashem. So it's hard to know exactly. There are times in which the Alter Rebbe does talk about the evil as having a consciousness of its existence. So that's a little bit of share. Now, he brings in this connection something from the Meraglim that he says that proves, at least, that his strategy is correct. That is, the Meraglim come back and they say that how fearsome the Canaanites are, and there's a Lashon, Chazak hu mimenu, which is normally translated, they are stronger than us. But mimenu in Hebrew is one of those words that has a double meaning. Mimenu can mean stronger than us, or mimenu, stronger than him, stronger than God. And Chazal actually go with the second interpretation, that the Meraglim had reached a level, it's a pella how they reached such a low level, but they reached a level in which they said, the enemies of the Canaan, or the Canaanim are so strong that they are even more powerful than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now then what happens is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to wipe out this whole generation, because they lack emunah. This is the night of Tisha B'Av, everybody's crying. And all of a sudden, the Baal HaTanya, the Chumash tells us, they want to go. They say, we want to go, we want to go, Hashem will give us the land. Now the Baal HaTanya says, where do you get the change of heart here? Moshe didn't do, there was no miracle that happened at that point. Meaning you say, see, Bishlama, if they had not denied their faith in Hashem, so good. So now that Hashem says, I'm angry at them, they say, oh, they come back to Hashem. But they didn't have faith in Hashem. If they didn't have faith in Hashem, then what happens when Hashem makes a gezerah, which was not yet carried out anyway? What happens? Why does that change them? So he says, this is exactly the pshat. A yid is be'emes in a maimon. Fundamentally, my godly soul is always a maimon in Hashem. Elamai, the sitra achra is misgaber, it's misgaber, it blocks out the light. But when I hear how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so dissatisfied with me, how I'm a shofel, I'm a nivza, I'm a nimas, he wants to destroy me, that's cutting up and cutting down and bringing down the sitra achra. And when you bring it down, the Or of Emunah in your neshama comes up immediately. Meaning the Teichacha of Moshe Rabbeinu al Pi Hashem is the equivalent of cutting up the wood. And by cutting up the wood, the Or of Emunah comes. And he says that Bezerach Klal, he says, this will be an Eitza for Sveikais in Emunah. Now, you do have a big problem here, you know, when people have sfeikas and how do I know God exists? You know, it's hard to give them this argument to, you know, just fight it as an illusion to say, well, it's not an illusion. But he's referring primarily to a type of person who fundamentally lives his life as a maimon. But sometimes you have questions and doubts. But that's coming from this imaginary sitra achra that you can knock down by recognizing that it's not a true reality. So this is a complicated exercise, because what it means is you open up the channels of a certain aspect of self-loathing as a way of destroying the apparent reality of evil, recognizing it to be an illusion, and then indeed your true self, which is your neshama, goes through. So really, actually, the Babaji Rebbe himself is Masber, this Keta of Tanya. Although the Tanya said before, the real me is my animal soul. But not really. Meaning, the real me is my animal soul when I allow it to control me. But when I stare it down and it disappears, the real me is that. That takes over. Okay? So you're kind of living in a certain illusion which it takes you over, but you can stare it down. Okay, so this is what Perek Chavtes does. Now, Perek Lamed carries it a little further, and I'll just begin Perek Lamed. Perek Lamed also gives you a further meditation regarding humility and anava, and this is based on the Chazal that say, Havei Shval Ruach Bifnei Kol Adam. Pirkei Avos. Right, so if the Perek Chavtes, the main passage is the Zohar, that any eitz which does not get ignited, chop up. A neshama that does not get ignited, a guf rather, that does not get ignited by the neshama, chop it up. Right? That was the text of Perek Chavtes. The text of Perek Lamed is how to be a shval ruach in front of everybody. Everybody. In other words, you should look at yourself in a lowly way as compared to everybody. Everybody? Meaning I am the worst person in the world? He says, yeah, as a matter of fact, that is the case. Because he brings the idea that Chazal say, Al tadin es chavercha ad shetagi alim koma. Don't judge people till you reach their place. So now I'll read you a little bit what he says. Ki makomo gorim lo lachta. A person's situation in life is a major contributing factor in how they sin. Leos parnasaso lelech bashuk kalayom. If a person has a parnasa that he has to be in the marketplace all day, v'leos miyoshvei karanas, he's sitting around in the markets. Ein avrayas kol taivas. His eyes see all of the, you know, taivas and the lust and the hedonism. Ha'ayin raya ha'leif chaymeit. Like these are all languages of Chazal. The eye sees and the heart desires. The yitzray bayar kataner and his yitzara burns like a furnace. Masha enke? But you're a tzaddik, right? You're in Kailo, you're in yeshiva. Me shalach b'shuk ma'at. I only go into the shuk a little bit. Rov ha'am yoshev b'beiso. Most of the time I sit in my house. Maybe I'm learning. V'gamim holech kol yom b'shuk. And even if I work in the shuk, maybe I'm not so affected. My yetzahara there is not so strong. So I'm not fighting my yetzahara. I just don't have a big yetzahara. So now the Baal HaTanya writes. So therefore he's like, so therefore, when I look at all of these people that are sinning, I have to ask myself, would I be able to withstand the temptations if I would be in their place? Now the Emes is, this is an Igeres HaRamban already. I'm a tiny bit surprised the Baal HaTanya is not quoted. Maybe the Igeres HaRamban was not even known then, because you know, many of these seven were printed later. But in the famous and very beautiful letter that the Ramban wrote to his son when he went to Eretz Yisrael, right, Igeres HaRamban. So the Ramban writes that every person you meet, even if they seem to be inferior to you in Torah and in mitzvahs, always understand the unique challenges that they face. And ask yourself, if I had those challenges, would I be able to come out that way, better than that person? And very often it's not the case. In fact, this was the teichacha that the Dubner Magid gave the Grah. Rav Yaakov Kranz was the Magid of Dubna. He was the preacher of Dubna. A very, very famous Magid. He has many Svarim, famous for his Mishalim, etc. But just to show you, he was not just Stam a preacher. He was a very close Yidid of the Vilna Gaon. And whenever he was in Vilna, the Vilna Gaon always said, please come and visit me. So you see, he must have been a Mishunatika, Talmud Chacham. And the Vilna Gaon, he did not like to go out that much. The Vilna Gaon would ask the Dubner Magid to give him Musr. Give him Musr. And the Dubner Magid did not enjoy that very much. I mean, imagine if your job was to point out to the Vilna Gaon the ways he could improve. And you know, so the Dubner Magid always tried to get out of this, but the Vilna Gaon said, no, I need teichach, I need musr, I need to hear. So the Dubner Magid gave him this mashal. He says, you're such a tzaddik, you learn all day, you're masa kol haterekula, but you don't have the nisyanis, you're not out there. How do you think you would be if you had to face all the nisyanis of regular people? Do you think you would come out so pure? And, you know, therefore he was telling the Grah that you have to have anava and shiflus and be shval ruach b'fnei kol adam. And it's recorded that the Vilna Gaon was crying, the Vilna Gaon was sobbing, the Vilna Gaon said, you're right, but I'm not trying to do kunsim, meaning to say I'm not going to put myself in a place where I might be nichshol. I need to protect myself. So the Baal HaTanya says, remember, so he's writing, this parak in particular, he's writing to B'nai Aliyah. He's basically saying, don't think you're so good, you're so righteous, you're so chashuv, and you look down at the working people, and you say, oh, these people, they don't learn, they don't daven with so much kavana, maybe they don't even keep mitzvot. He says, you have no idea of the temptations and the yetzaharas that they face. Now, he then adds, though, of course I don't mean to say that they have an excuse, because then you go the other way, you know. Then the working person reads this, and, oh, Baruch Hashem, the Alter Rebbe says, I don't have to learn, I don't have to daven, because they have such a big struggle. He says, of course they have no excuse. Of course they are mechuyev to fight that yetzahara. But you, as a Ben Aliyah, have to know how hard it is. Now, and then you ask yourself, this is a very uncomfortable part of the Tanya, is there some area in your life where you're working as hard to conquer the Yetzirah as they are doing? Now this is a very, very powerful statement. Because let's say somebody is in the shuk and somebody has all of these taivas, etc., and for them to go to minyan every day is a real hard avoda. But they do it. They do it. For them to learn daf yomi, an hour a day is hard. But they do it. So, again, if you quantify it, so they have a yetzer hara and they're miskaber. I look at them and I say, ah, daf yomi, what daf yomi, an hour a day, like, you know, what's the big deal? Okay, that's fine. Maybe that's not a big deal for you. Is there something in your life that you are misgaber with the same difficulty as they? And if you're not, then you're failing. Then you're worse than them. because you are struggling with the Yetzer Hara less than they are. So this is really a derisha for perpetual aliyah. Right? You can't just say, I'm doing more than them, therefore. Rather, I have to be loichem the milchama with the same intensity that they're loichem. Now, maybe that'll mean I'll be up there because my matzah was a different matzah. But Hashem judges me based on the lechima. Right? And that is how it's shayach that a person can be a shval ruach bifnei kol adam. Right? It's really two aspects. In terms of, I don't know if I would be as good as them had I been in their matzah. And number two, in my mind,